Welcome back, Hemingway listeners, to the Hemingway List, the wrap-up episode. We will be discussing yesterday's chapter, the final chapter of Anna Karenina, and we'll just be discussing the book as a whole. What did you think of the final chapter? What did you think of the book? And why do you think Hemingway included this novel in his list? I can definitely see why he included War and Peace. But he's opted to include two Tolstoy books, and apparently Anna Karenina is a must-read for an aspiring writer. The only other author with two stories on the list is Stephen Crane, with The Open Boat and The Blue Hotel. Those are both very short stories, though. So it's interesting that he's decided to do that. Swim Said the Mum of Fish, he said, "I like this explanation as to why Anna Karenina was included, along with War and Peace, on the list. Fyodor Dostoevsky, who many consider Tolstoy's only true rival, had already had Poor Folk, 1846, and The House of the Dead, 1860, published and had completed Notes from the Underground by the time the first installment of War and Peace arrived. However, it can be no coincidence that his most celebrated works came directly after each of Tolstoy's masterpieces. Firstly, Crime and Punishment, and then his final novel, often regarded his magnum opus, The Brothers Karamazov. Like the modernists or the beat writers that were to follow, every movement has its great works that other artists look to rival or surpass. It is this inspiration that could be the true measure of War and Peace and Anna Karenina and their worth, not only to Russia's golden age, but to the arts in general." Well, that kind of makes sense, doesn't it? That he's included twice, where Dosto's only included once, because it seems that Dosto was competing with Tolstoy. Tolstoy was more setting the precedents, doing his own thing, which I didn't know that until now. So that's an interesting comment. Still doesn't really explain why Anna Karenina's on the list. I can understand for sure why War and Peace is, though. Sluggy with 3 G's says, "I've been trying to compose my thoughts on the book for the last few days, and it's hard to put into writing all the reasons I love it." Oh, this is awesome. I'm so glad that someone loved it, because I had a look at some of the comments as they were coming in throughout the day, and I think it was just kind of fell flat for a lot of people. So it's good to think that we've done all this work, all this discussion, all this reading, and at least some of us have enjoyed it. Actually, no, you know what? I have enjoyed it. Just as a whole, I didn't think it was a great book. But Sluggy, let's see what you've got to say. It's definitely not without its flaws, especially book 8, as many have pointed out. I would have preferred a short epilogue after book 7 in its place, but when I think back on this novel, that is not what I'm going to remember. What I'm going to remember is Levin's good heart and his passion, Steve's infuriating charm, and the other members of this cast of characters, I will often find myself wondering what they might be up to years later, and sometimes they feel more like real people than some people who I actually know. War and Peace is the more epic and wide-ranging of Tolstoy's books, but I've always thought of Anna Karenina as the more intimate. The real theme of the book just seems to be life in general, and I enjoyed all the snippets of ordinary life that we get along the way. We also experience death and new life, marriage and near divorce, politics, society, and so many other things that make up essential parts of life. All I'll say that I had such a great time reading this along with everyone. I've enjoyed reading everyone's comments, and it's definitely added both to my understanding and enjoyment of the book. I can't wait to start on the next one with everyone." Me too, Sluggy. The American coming right up. And I was just thinking, everyone seems to be going into isolation, lockdown mode, trying to avoid this whole coronavirus thing. Or maybe you've got coronavirus and you want to avoid giving it to someone else. Whatever. I hope you're all healthy. I hope you're all making the best of the situation. Let's say that. But hey, if we're all in lockdown, it's probably a good time for us to start a new book, right? Like, lots of good discussion, good meaty chapters. The chapters are quite long in the American, and I was going to say I'll break them up, but you know what, I think with this whole thing considered, I'm going to be at home a little bit more than usual. I've got nowhere to be. Everything's been cancelled left, right and centre. So yeah, screw it, you know, I'll do the longer chapters. And yeah, I think these online communities is a good thing to be part of at this point when we're all got to be isolated from each other in the real world. So I would encourage everyone to, I don't know, maybe share that around, share it with some of the other subreddits, maybe the fact that we are starting a new book today. I'll be posting the first chapter within a couple of hours of now, and then that will kick off the first 24 hours where we read that chapter and start to discuss it. So I would say over the next 24 hours especially would be the best time to really try to recruit some people into this podcast. I'm always trying to grow the audience of this because, I don't know, I suppose it just sort of validates the whole project a bit. The more people involved, the more fun it seems to be. You get different opinions. It's just good to have your community grow, right? It's a good feeling. Our community, I should say. Chorolette says, I didn't find this a satisfying last chapter at all, but at least the book is over. The journal that refused to publish part 8 and just gave a synopsis had the right idea. Maybe it wasn't about the politics after all, and they just recognized that part 8 sucked. Other than part 8, I liked the book a lot. Highlights for me: Levin's charming awkwardness with Kitty, the pain and frustration of seeing Anna self-destruct with nothing anyone could do to help, going back and forth on whether Karenin was a self-righteous prick or a pretty decent guy who got the short end of the stick. But it really irks me that after all the good stuff, I had to sit through an entire 19 chapters of the Slavonic question and Levin's sudden conversion. Yeah, that whole last bit where it's just like, oh, by the way, this is now political and religious. Yeah, did not leave me with a good memory of the book. So with the Americans starting, sorry, I'm just going back to what I was talking about before I read that comment, because I've got nothing to add to that comment. But I was thinking it would be good if we could all give you all a little bit of homework. Recruiting people via Reddit. That's what I'm going to ask you to do. So you can either post about it in related subreddits, any ones about books, literature, reading, classics, all the, you know, writers ones. But then also just in comments, just replying to comments. I mean, every post on Reddit at the moment is about coronavirus. So you could be responding if people are asking, like, what can we do while we're locked in? Or how are you coping with the time in your house? That kind of thing. Whatever. But that's everyone's homework. Your homework is in the next 24 hours to name drop the Hemingway list and let everyone know that we're starting a new book in our gigantic book club and that they should hang out with us while they're homestuck. There you go. Marketing 101. Mini Owl says, I must say, I didn't... Oh, let me know if you do it as well. And I'll reward you with one pat on the back. Not a real one, because I don't want to get coronavirus on my hand, but a spiritual pat on the back. And I give good spiritual pat on the backs. Don't worry about that. People always say that to me. Someone was telling me that just today. Minnie Owl says, I must say I didn't really enjoy this book. You would think... Phone's making noises. Ignore that. Ignore that. You would think that 900 plus pages would be enough to make you really involved in the characters and the storyline, but this one somehow left me cold. Usually when I finish such a long book, I have the feeling that I'm going to miss some of the characters, but now I'm just glad the book is over. Usually I also love the endings of books when everything comes together, but the whole part 8 was just blah. I would 100% agree, and that's where this book is so different from War and Peace. War and Peace has this cast of so many characters, and they're all so rich, and you feel like you know them, and you've lived with them, and you've died with them, and you've watch them give birth and all the rest, and you know, you've been part of their life and they feel so real. And with these characters, like, they have lived and died and given birth, but you don't feel like you were connected to any of it. Even in this last few chapters when they were talking about Levin, I literally was like, which one's Levin again? And I still am only like 50% clear on who Levin was in this book. Like, he was married to Kitty, I think, but I can't remember which one Kitty is. Or was he? I don't know. And this is ridiculous that I've just finished a 900-page book and I'm foggy on the details. And if I had to paint you a picture of Levin, it's like, was he the farmy one? Or was that... No, it wasn't Vronsky. Vronsky was like the kind of mystery man that didn't really seem to have a personality, except like, oh, I'm into painting now. No, I'm not anymore. And horses? Something about horses? I don't know any of their personalities. I don't know any of their... I get them all mixed up, and it's crazy that you could be so far into a book and nothing has really sunk in. Okay. Even Anna. I don't have that clear a picture of Anna. I haven't read a lot of classics, but I sure hope some of them are better than this. And at the same time, I'm a bit ashamed to say that I don't really like the book. A lot of people seem to appreciate it so much, so it makes me feel like I just didn't get it somehow. I blame some of it on the bad translation. I will surely pay more attention to that in the future. You read the Kalima translation. I never even heard of it. But I don't think it would have been that much better with a better translation. For me, it just didn't work. I don't usually mind books that are not very plot-driven, but focus on character development if it makes me interested in the characters. Now, I didn't really care about any of them. JMama8779 said, the final chapter wasn't too bad. Not really sure how it was relevant, though. I think Anna Karenina is powerful if you look at it through the 2020 lens, but I can't really say that it was anywhere near as powerful as a novel as some of the behemoths we've tackled so far on the Hemingway list. Onward. Onward indeed. Onward and upward. And I say that with the mental image of that guy that points his baton to make planes launch off those battleship things that have jet planes on them. I am a Norwegian. I'm so bad. It's so hard for me to recall the words that I want to say as I talk. This is why I'm a writer, because I've got the slowest word recall in the world. I've got a good vocabulary. It's just not readily available to me. So I write so that I can spend 3 minutes trying to remember one specific word. I am Norwegian said, while the last chapters have been a bit disappointing, I still had goosebumps finishing the book. Overall, I did really enjoy the book, but in contrast to the Brothers Karamazova, Anna Karenina feels empty looking back, like it's all just washed over me. By the way, he wrote Karamazov correctly. I just tried to spice it up a bit. I remember the feeling of the farming chapters. I remember the boobies chapter. With TBK, on the other hand, I remember most of it. I don't remember much of TBK because I think I read a really bad translation and it just was a big jumble to me. But War and Peace, amazingly, which is a good 30% longer than Anna Karenina, I remember, I feel like I remember most of it. Jim Jam is Cool says, haven't commented here before. Welcome to the subreddit and welcome to the podcast, but just wanted to say thanks for the discussion / commentary over the past few months. You are very welcome, and I hope you will be part of our next discussions. I'm going to write that actually as a response, just in case Jim Jam is Cool doesn't listen to the podcast. You are very welcome, and we hope you in the next book get involved in the next book. Smiley face? Nah, I'm not going to do a smiley face. Bit on the nose. Thermos of Beer says, I feel like I should have something to say about this book, but I'm just not sure what I'd want to say. It didn't leave much of an impression on me, and I'm left wanting in the end. Levin didn't live happily ever after. He went right back to being moody and questioning everything about his existence. He's insufferable. Kitty could have done better. Dolly could have done better. Vronsky was a weenie from day one. Why did Anna go for him? Because she was unhappy. Well, she didn't seem very happy with him in the end, to me. Way too much leaven in this book. Tolstoy really liked to talk about himself, and the title character, who should have been the main character, got done dirty. She should have been the focus of the book. We get leaven in the end, barely a mention of how people in Anna's life were affected by her suicide, just so Tolstoy could talk more about himself, about bees, about religion, about anything other than some impactful event that just happened in one of his books. This is my biggest gripe with Tolstoy. People say he writes everyday life so well, but he only writes it up to some tragedy, then moves on to months later without ever dealing with any of the aftermath. People saw Vronsky and he seemed sad. Was our resolution with Anna's death? What a bunch of poop. I wanted to fall for Anna, but I got leaven instead. I wanted to understand Anna, but I got leaven instead. I wanted to mourn Anna, but I got leaven instead. I wanted closure on Anna, but I got leaven instead. And getting leaven instead just didn't do it for me. I think Hemingway added this book to the list because he was on the spot and couldn't think of any other books to add. He was also probably pretty drunk and his mind was probably being ravaged by syphilis. Just a guess on my part. Yeah, that's probably why. This drunken syphilitic brain just like, oh, and yeah, this one. In the end, I don't regret reading the book. I'm glad I did. I just wish I could have done it with a better group. Aw. / sarcasm. Hey, this is the best group on the internet, all right? That goes bag in the Hemingway List subreddit. My favorite spot on the internet. And, yes, I read about half of A Farewell to Arms, or as it's known in the Southern Hemisphere, Hello Legs. That's the dumbest joke I've ever seen. bad joke, sorry. No, that's a good joke. And I gave up on it. If Hemingway is going to be your one true author to look up to, you should go ahead and read the book. Maybe if the Hemingway List starts tackling Hemingway, I will finish that book. Yeah, that would be cool. Thanks for putting up with my comment. I feel like this was my peak contribution. Ooh, let's go back and visit your peak contribution. This is from 7 months ago. I apologize in advance for this, but Vronsky showing up and leaving right away reminded me of an episode of The 70s Show where Eric Foreman was going to different houses trying to find a place to poo. So I can't help but picture Vronsky in a carriage when something inside him gurgles, then shifts demanding to be released at once, him praying that only Steve is home as he pulls up to Oblonsky residence and that frightened look of horror washing over his face when the women are there and there is no safe place to poo. I doubt this is the case with a literary classic, but if it doesn't get explained, then this is what I'm choosing to believe. I don't remember that comment. That's brilliant. I don't even remember that bit of the book, to be honest. But that's very, very good. And just for nostalgia, if anyone wants to go back to the first Anna Karenina post, that's very cool. Let's have a look at the very first comment. Okay, they're all quite long. Okay, Ordinary Yogurt, whose name, I guess Ordinary Yogurt dropped out of the race here. I'm excited. This is my first time on this sub and my first time reading a Tolstoy novel. I appreciate that Tolstoy sets the tension early. The opening line is wonderful for this and he had me hooked from the get-go. My mind jumps to infidelity. I'm not sure about innocence at this point. It's a beautiful and evocative line with which I disagree. Happily, families have their idiosyncrasies and unhappy families share some similarities. I do love the line though and think it sets the tone nicely. That opening line, yeah. Yeah, it's also interesting to remember that the book starts with someone being in the doghouse for infidelity, which is sort of like the theme of the book, isn't it? Is infidelity and fidelity in general. The tone is very much set at the beginning of the book. And it makes you think. They're all frumpy with each other in chapter one. Frumpy, right? About an infidelity. And then they move on with their lives and continue, right? And then we've got these other characters and their infidelity and it tears them apart to the point of one committing suicide. And so it's an interesting contrast of which, who was more mature about the infidelity, the ones that swept it under the rug and continued with their family, or the ones who let it tear them up? Interesting, hey. TA131901 said, womp, womp. It was a great read at times, but ended with a whimper. Still, I loved the discussion here. Too bad I didn't find this sub earlier. TA131901, we loved having your discussion here. And I do hope you will continue with us. Let's read the next book together. The American. And yeah, we'll just keep it rolling. We've got plenty of books left on the list. And then at the end of the list, who knows what we'll do. All right. Will we keep running with it? Maybe. Maybe we will read some Hemingway. Our treat, but you know, by the way, that's still a long way off. I think we've still got more than a year of reading to do. And if we read War and Peace again, that is a year. So it's 2 years of reading. Okay, what are we saying? Our treat. I don't know if this has been done in the past, but do we get another day or two to talk about the work as a whole from the macro level rather than the chapter level? I know there's been some mixed in, but one of my favorite things about this book is how much there is to delve into across the chapters, characters, etc. Yeah, look, we've got 24 hours to discuss the book as a whole, but really in the next few hours we'll be starting the next book. You're welcome to continue the discussion, post your thoughts on the subreddit as separate posts or as responses to the current post. But yeah, we are going to keep moving one day at a time, so we got a chapter to read today. Okay, Al Treat says, I do not even think this is close to being one of the greatest novels ever, like a lot of people seem to. I've listened to a few podcasts on it and people wax rhapsodic, and I'm just like, did we read the same book? I'm glad to have read it, as it's one of the big ones and there's plenty in it to talk about or discuss, and I'm planning on reading some literary criticism about it to get more out of it. I just didn't enjoy it that much. Despite the length, I feel a huge distance between the characters and the events. They were described in a way that made them come alive for me, and instead of true character studies, we get agricultural studies. I feel like I know more about the problems Zemstrov's than Karenin's inner life, or Anna's. I guess with Levin we got some, but it wasn't really all that good. It felt like Tolstoy was inventing scenes or occurrences with the sole purpose of slipping some clever idea into one of his characters' mouths/heads. I wish he hadn't. So boring, ideas that not that clever. Maybe they were for the time/place, but I've read other books from the 1870s that were better stories, better written, actually clever. I don't mean to pan Anna Karenina. There's definitely worthwhile stuff in there, but I feel like it's buried. Yeah. The most confusing thing to me is the contrast between Anna Karenina and War and Peace. Don't let this turn you off War and Peace if you haven't read War and Peace. War and Peace deserves its solid top three novels of all time position. I mean, if you look up top 10 novels of all time and go to any random article, I think War and Peace will be up in the top three, won't it? But then again, okay, the first one I looked at, number one spot is Anna Karenina. And War and Peace is number three. Okay, I'm going to click on three random ones of these. We've got greatestbooks.org. Where's Tolstoy? Tolstoy's number seven, War and Peace. All right, number seven. Number 12 is Brothers Karamazov. Oh, Madame Bovary is up here. We're going to read that soon. Very good. And I'm down past 20 now. Anna Karenina is 24. Alright, so number 7 for War and Peace in that one. Alright, this is the Encyclopedia Britannica. Number 1 spot, Anna Karenina. Number 2, Killing Mockingbird. Great Gatsby at 3. 100 Years of Solitude at 4. Passage to India at 5. Invisible Man, 6. Don Quixote, 7. Beloved, 8. Miss Dalloway, Things Fall Apart, Jane Eyre, The Colour Purple. Oh, Tolstoy's not even in it. There you go. And The Guardian. Don Quixote's number 1. And we've got Anna Karenina is 27. War and Peace. Who even knows where War and Peace is? War and Peace is not on their list of top 100 books. All right. The Guardian. Okay. All right. Maybe I'm wrong. Anyway, I feel that my point, let's continue my point. What was my point? Yeah. War and Peace deserves its spot in the top five books where you often see it, but not always, depending on the journalist. But Anna Karenina, I don't think deserves it at all. That was what I was trying to say. Then I got sidetracked by listicles. Astrologer Plus says, forget about finding faith, forget about the war conscripts. This book is mostly about Anna, and for me, she had a good ending. Yep. I actually agree. Forget about the part eight. Anna's story was a good story. It was a good story. It was a good fall from grace tragedy. And the only thing is the aftermath of her death was frustratingly missing. You know, it just wasn't there. Do we even check in with Vronsky after it? I don't think we even saw Vronsky. Did we see her kids? No. Did we see her ex-husband? I don't recall. I think we might have, but it was all pretty underwhelming. So, I don't know. Her story was good. The story wasn't good. That's it. Hey, we finished. We finished discussing Anna Karenina. On to the next book. So there'll be two podcasts today. I'm going to wrap this one up so that there's no kind of crossover. I don't want to discuss one book and then read a different book in the same episode. So in a couple of hours, there'll be a new episode, which will be chapter one of The American. And then there won't be a discussion part of that one. And then we'll kick off from there. So then, you know, we'll have 24 hours to discuss that first chapter. Makes sense? I think so. Very, very good. Thank you very much for listening. Thanks for hanging around with us during this Anna Karenina times. Stay safe out there. Stay healthy. And I'll see you in a couple of hours.